This is GBH's Morning Edition. For International Women's Day, we're going to take a trip back 132 years to the 19th century, when four local women set off on a two-week island adventure. They left a detailed log of their travels, including watercolor paintings and photos. But, as GBH's Jennifer Moore reports, they also left a tantalizing mystery.
On the toasty morning of July 15th, 1891, four middle-aged women met here at Rose Wharf in Boston. They boarded a boat and set sail for one of the outermost harbor islands, Great Brewster. There wasn't much there, some huts for potential shipwreck survivors, a leaky cottage, and a single cow roaming the land. These four were leaving their husbands and children behind for 17 days of adventure and the joy of female companionship. Their provisions included food, art supplies, literature, and one leather-bound journal. And it's that same journal that over a century later mesmerized Boston-based author Stephanie Shorrow when she saw it in Harvard's Schlesinger Library.
But there was one big problem with it. We knew the identity of one of the women in the diary, but we didn't know the other three women. Now, we had their photos, but we did not have their names.
The journal detailed the cold corned beef they ate and the poetry they read by moonlight. It recorded the tides and the flora of the island. Someone had a camera, a novelty back then. In pictures, we see a rustic cottage with one woman in a hammock and an American flag bearing 43 stars. They adopted their own playful language, a mix of Shakespearean and swashbuckler, adding the word ye for flair. The journal's title page reads, "Ye log of ye square party at ye Great Brewster in ye pleasant month of July, 1891.
The women in the journal were only identified by their nicknames, the autocrat, the aristocrat, the acrobat, and the scribe, which when you get down to it are kind of weird nicknames.
One of the women was believed to be Helen Augusta Whittier, an artist and businesswoman from Lowell. Shorrow put out a call, and about 10 people, almost exclusively older women in and around Boston, volunteered to investigate. Over tea at Shorrow's house in Medford recently, they reviewed their work. Shorrow says they began by transcribing the journal.
You know, they don't teach cursive to students anymore. But we're old gals, so we wrote in cursive. We could decipher it. But even then, there were some parts we just, I don't know what they're saying here.
The next task was to distinguish which of ye merry trippers, as the women had called themselves, wrote what. The group stitched together census records, vital statistics, and newspaper clippings. And now, after about 2 years of research, they feel confident they've identified all four women. Helen Frances Ray French was ye autocrat. The daughter of a clothing manufacturer in Lowell, she later ran a lodging house with her husband. Ye gentle aristocrat was Sarah Elizabeth Lizzie Dean Adams, a founding member of two humanitarian clubs in New England. Ye artistic acrobat was Isabella Coburn, a well-known painter who studied at the New England Conservatory of Music and what's now the Massachusetts College of Art. And the trip's ringleader was Helen Augusta Whittier, nicknamed Ye Voracious Scribe. She never married. She ran her family's textile mill in Lowell, then founded a Boston newsletter for women and became a leader in New England's suffragist movement.
We could only suppose that they were trying to say to the world, we can do it ourselves, or women can do it ourselves.
But there was also a man who helped rescue their story. Professor John Stilgo, who teaches the history of landscape at Harvard University, first discovered the journal in a used bookstore while on a bike ride in Cape Ann in 1999.
I took one look at it and was staggered by its beauty, and then realized its significance for anyone studying the seacoast.
Stilgo said it's not surprising that educated women at that time knew how to describe, draw, and paint the plants and seascape. In that era, some women learned Latin and botany and launched careers in arts and landscape. Stilgo pledged to the bookseller that Harvard would buy it.
And put down my own credit card and told him if Harvard didn't buy it, I would buy it.
That was not the first time the book had been rescued. Anne Marie Allen is a retired chemist and theologian who helped solve the mystery. She says the journals had several close calls.
This wasn't the best cottage there was. When it rained, it leaked. It poured inside the house. And they talked about running around and getting buckets to catch the water. They talked about rescuing the book that we're talking about, rescuing that logbook from the deluge that was coming through the roof.
Stilgo says the book itself is only half of the story.
I commend the people who have researched the past of most of the women, because it is not enough that these women have left behind something wonderful. It's essential we know who they were as individual human beings.
Anne Marie Allen says the women seemed to have a sense of their own place in history. Among the things they read on their trip were essays by Washington Irving.
And one of them made mention of memories and things that we leave behind for people to find out something about ourselves. And I just thought, those women quoted or read that particular passage. Did they ever dream that their journal was going to be looked at over 100 years later?
Irving wrote, "Time is ever silently turning over his pages. Each age is a volume thrown aside to be speedily forgotten. But this leather-bound volume will not be forgotten. These modern-day sleuths have joined hands with the Friends of the Boston Harbor Islands to publish the journal. It's scheduled to be released in June, with proceeds going to the nonprofit, guaranteeing these four women a special kind of immortality." At Boston Harbor, I'm Jennifer Moore, GBH 89.7.
This story was edited by Paul Singer, and you're listening to GBH's Morning Edition.